Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for the sermon today is from the gospel account of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. I have never seen it in my short lifetime. A spontaneous nationwide celebration where people took to the streets to celebrate. Now, the closest we get to it is this year when the Patriots won the Super Bowl and people in Boston took to the streets. They shouted, they screamed. Last year when the Cubs won the World Series, people in Chicago spontaneously took to the streets to celebrate their team's victory. It does happen in cities around the nation. But I talked to my grandpa, and the last time he can remember a nationwide spontaneous celebration was VE Day on May 8th, 1945, Victory in Europe Day, and then also VJ Day, Victory in Japan Day, on August 14th, also in 1945. People took to the streets. They shouted, they screamed, they hugged the person next to them. I don't think anyone coordinated everyone going to the streets to celebrate. I don't think very many people were afraid of what their bosses would think if they went and joined everyone. I don't know that very many people had a game plan as to exactly how they were going to celebrate that day. In fact, you know that the black and white picture of the sailor who takes the nurse into a dip and gives her a kiss on the lips? Well, that's actually from VJ Day in Times Square. Now, minus the sailor in the suit kissing the nurse, that's kind of like what Palm Sunday was. People shouted, they screamed, they were hailing the coming of Jesus. Finally, after all this waiting, their Messiah had come. Their deliverer had come. Finally, Jesus would kick the Romans out of town. He would bring back the glory days and the prosperous days of ancient Israel. Jesus, this prophet from Nazareth in Galilee, would reestablish the throne and the kingdom of Israel. They were with them. They shouted, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's get to work, Jesus, and let's kick these Romans out of town." Whoops. Wrong Messiah. Wrong Savior. Wrong Jesus. Which Jesus is he? Is he Jesus, the conquering king? Well, yes, but he didn't come to conquer walls, wealth, and lands. He came to conquer your heart. Is he Jesus who came to give us freedom from all of our political problems? Boy, wouldn't that be nice. No, he's Jesus who came to give you freedom from your sins. Is he Jesus who came to bring peace between all the nations on earth and all of our country's enemies? No. He's Jesus who came to bring peace between God and men so that you can be absolutely convinced that God is not your enemy. Jesus wasn't exactly the Savior the Jews wanted. But he was the Savior the Jews needed. What the Jews needed to learn, we need to learn. We don't decide who Jesus is. Jesus is who he is. Like the Jews, we need to be careful that we aren't forcing our expectations onto Jesus. During this Holy Week, as we look at Jesus in his word, as we pray to him for what we want, we need to always be asking with the Jews, which Jesus is he? Is he the Jesus you want? Or is he the Jesus you need? There's a conflict a tension in the text that you probably wouldn't pick up on first glance. I know I didn't. And it's a tension that Jesus saw and Jesus knew, but the crowds did not know. To the crowds, this was like one of the days from their more glorious past where their Israelite generals or kings would come parading into town and they were celebrating the victory over the nation's enemies. The big difference is that this wasn't so much a welcome back. This was a launching party of a victory they thought was all but inevitable. Finally, their Savior had come. But there's a tension between who Jesus was, a man in a robe riding on a mother donkey's colt, and what a king should like. Royal garb, a beautiful, shiny horse. Now, the differences between a horse and a donkey are pretty striking. My aunt trains horses, and she has had a donkey before, too. She told me that a donkey is far more stubborn. It's not as trusting as a horse is. Doesn't have the nice, shiny coat that a horse will. It can't gallop. A horse will gallop majestically. A donkey can't. A donkey is just a pack animal. You put stuff on it. And in this case, they had to lead the mother so that the colt Jesus was riding on would follow. Not exactly a kingly picture. So here's the even bigger tension. Jesus knew the crowd's intentions. He knew the misunderstanding of the people and who he was. But he still let the people praise him anyway. Not only does the text tell us that the whole city of Jerusalem was stirred up, I mean, man, were they excited, but we also know that this was a festival time for Israel, probably the Passover. So people from northern Israel and from southern Israel were coming to Jerusalem, thousands of pilgrims who were celebrating in addition to the people of Jerusalem. Why did Jesus let him do it? I mean, he certainly wasn't afraid of rebuking or chastising a crowd. He'd done that before. But the crowd that is almost completely off base keeps praising him for someone he is not. Well, mostly. On this point, they were absolutely right. Jesus was the Messiah. They hailed him, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David," a very specific reference to the promised Messiah. They were right to hail him as the Messiah. They were just completely off base in their expectations of what Jesus would do and what Jesus did do. But they were right to hail him as the Messiah. Now, this misunderstanding of the Jews shouldn't really surprise you, should it? I mean, there's a lot of people today who have a lot of different expectations about what they expect Jesus to do. Some believe that Jesus is going to come and reign in a 1,000-year reign on earth. Here? In this sin, sick, fallen, depressing, corrupt world? I sure hope not. Some people expect that the message of Jesus is going to be the message that causes the nations to stop fighting each other. Nah, right after this, Jesus said, speaking about the end times, nations will fight against nations, but the end is still to come. People will always be fighting on this side of heaven. Many people believe that the message of Jesus will be what causes the nations to band together and rid the world of poverty or hunger. Now, that's a great goal. But it ignores what Jesus said. He said, "The poor you will always have among you." Help them, absolutely. And that's a problem Jesus says to address. But poverty and hunger is always a problem we will have on this side of heaven. Many people want Jesus to be somebody they can work to please. You know, I can be a better person, I can do better things, that way God will forgive me, and then I'll get into heaven. That way I can feel so good about myself. The problem is, that rejects Jesus' free, unconditional, once-for-all grace for the sins of the whole world. That he gives freely to everyone because he's a God of love and that's what he does. So what about you? What do you want? Who do you want Jesus to be? Do you want Jesus to be a weekend Jesus? Someone I worship on the weekend at the end of the week? But then time for Bible study in the middle of the week on Wednesday nights? Nah, don't have time for that. Time for devotions with the family during the week? Nah, that's going to have to wait till Sunday. Good thing Jesus isn't a weekend Jesus, but is your Savior 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's dedicated to you every single day. Are you looking for a Jesus who is content with once a month worship attendance? Or maybe two times a month, you know, at least 50%. That'll keep God happy. Well, Jesus said, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God's always looking for people who want to worship him. Are you someone who wants to worship Jesus? Are you a worshiper the Father seeks? How in the world can you have the desire to worship one weekend, but then not have the desire to worship the next weekend? If you want to worship Jesus, you want to worship Jesus whenever you get the chance. It's easy to lose that desire. I've been there. I've done it. That frankly, I've got it pretty easy. I'm going to be here worshiping regardless. You pay me to do that, you'd probably fire me if I didn't. You'd be right to. But it's easy to lose that desire. Jesus asks us to pray for that desire. He wants you to want to worship every day. So every day, this desire for worship is the culmination that leads into worshiping at the beginning of every week, where you get to hear the message again of Jesus crucified and risen for you. You get to hear from the Bible God's message of love for you, his history of love for you. Lastly, do you want a tolerant Jesus? Who's okay with your friend or relative who couldn't care less about Jesus? Oh, but he is so sincere about his lifestyle. And she is so sincere about what she believes. It's easier to want a tolerant Jesus than to take seriously his command to go and make disciples of all nations. We'd rather have a tolerant Jesus than trust in the power of God's words on your lips to convict someone of their sin and convince them they have a Savior from their sin. You don't have to think very hard for all the different ways Jesus is not the Savior we want. But my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he is the Savior we need. And what we need is not for life to be better or easier on this side of heaven. We don't need a Savior who saves us from all of our issues here on earth. We need a Savior from our sins. We don't need life on earth to be better. We need eternity. We don't need earth. We need heaven. We need Jesus as he is. As Peter says, the atoning sacrifice for our sins and also for the sins of the whole world. We need Jesus as he is, not as we would like him to be. But here's the crux of the issue. If you're going to believe in who Jesus is, you need to be convinced of who you are. You are priceless. You are invaluable. You are worth dying for. You are worth God coming down from heaven to be made like us and suffer like us and die like us and do what we couldn't do without him. Live? Yes, this awesome worth you have in Jesus is only because of God's love, but it is still you. Yes, the Christian character you pray for and you have and that people see, that's only because of Jesus in you. That's not to your credit. That doesn't come from you, but that is still you. That is who God has made you. You are the recipient every day of Jesus' face smiling down in heaven on you, smiling on your work done for him, smiling on your Christian character lived in him. Jesus' face is smiling down on you because you are in him and he is in you. That is who you are. So we talked today about giving Jesus your time during the week for Bible study and prayer. We talked about wanting to worship every day, and this leading up to the culmination of our desire to worship at the head of every week. Jesus is someone who wants these types of worship. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We talked about that too. Not one way among many way and many sincere people. So if you're going to believe that Jesus is an everyday Jesus, if you're going to believe that Jesus wants these types of worshipers, and if you're going to believe that Jesus is someone who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth through him, if you're going to believe these things, you not only need to believe who Jesus is and your worth in Jesus, but you need to be convinced of your identity in Jesus. You are saved every day. You are an everyday Christian, redeemed every day, and this motivates to live your life for Jesus every day. Not just as a weekend Christian. God has given you wonderfully specific and wonderfully unique talents and gifts. He has given you the ability to sacrifice that extra time at work and the extra pay in preference for more time with him and your family in Bible study and prayer. You can do it. God will take care of you. God has marvelously made you as people who are capable of keeping your kids happy even when you can't give them every activity they want, every outing they want, every sports game they want, especially when it means choosing between it and worshiping Jesus. You can do that. God has given you the ability to do that, and I'm here to help. But we need to believe in who Jesus is as a member of this church. You are a member of a church that will not compromise one single bit of the comfort we have in Jesus in preference for popular opinion that works its way into false teaching of a Savior who didn't rise from the dead, who doesn't save you in your baptism, who isn't present in the Lord's Supper. You are part of a church that clearly teaches and equips you with God's word so that you can play your very specific part in carrying our ministry to our congregation and to our community. I suppose that at any given time, a church is always at a juncture, but especially now, our church is at a juncture. We are working through the issues we have to work through together. We are remembering who Jesus is, and we are remembering who we are. And where we go as a church depends completely on Jesus. Will you believe who Jesus is? Will you believe who you are? That you are an everyday Christian, and that Jesus is an everyday Jesus? Will this desire build up and culminate in the desire to worship? Will it show itself in regular Bible study and prayer? Will you pray to Jesus to want to worship? And will you engage your members with a very friendly call, text, visitor message who are lacking in wanting to worship? Jesus has the answers to all these questions. Talk to him in prayer. Listen to him in his word. He is your Jesus. You are his child. He has died for the sins of the whole world, and especially yours. During this Holy Week, listen to him. Watch him. He is on his way to the cross so that you might be on your way to heaven. He is your sacrifice so that your life might be an offering to him. Amen. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.